Fab Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We have a jam-packed show. This is one of those shows where anything could happen. Anybody could drop on in, which is fine by me. It is Wednesday. We are 5 days before the national championship game in college football, and it's being played right here in our own backyard. And I don't sense much buzz. I'm not being critical. It's just in our sports market, having a team from the SEC and a team from the ACC, while I think it's terrific, where I go around town, it is the Cardinals playoffs, muted a little bit because of the bye week. It's what's going on with Arizona State in football. It's, boy, I really like what Bobby Hurley's doing. And the Coyotes and Suns are just kind of sort of below the radar screen, which should never be the case, but that's how it is. But I want to talk about this this game and this matchup. On the show today, too, Dan Marley is going to be with us. Dan has done a terrific job. GCU's 13-2, and they've had wins over national programs like San Diego State, among others, and Marshall, and up at UNLV. So we're going to talk with Dan on that. I also want to talk to Dan about Robert Sarver's comments on social media and the issues with kids and if he's seen that with players and how does he go about it. And just some stuff with Dan Marley on where the program is. I'm supposed to be at GCU later today. They opened a new golf course. They want me to come out there. And unfortunately for the groundskeeper, I'm going to. Because I have a feeling I'm going to tear this place apart. That's just how I am. And I don't mean in a good way. It's not like I'm going to go out there and shoot lights out. So man, maybe I'll see Dan out there as well. Jake Plummer is going to be with us. I think talking with Jake today about the playoffs is appropriate. But more importantly, the Brock Osweiler-Peyton Manning angle. If there's an overriding story of this year's playoff, if I'm looking at the playoffs top to bottom, there's a compelling story with Cam Newton and what's going on with Carolina. Out here in Arizona, the resurgence, rebirth of Carson Palmer, and can he do anything in the postseason? Is Seattle coming on strong at the right time? The Vikings-Seattle game is supposed to be played at 0 degrees. It's the first outdoor game in Minnesota since 1976. And they're expecting a minus 10 wind chill and all that stuff. So we're going to see a frozen game this weekend, which is always fun. I want to snow like crazy on them when they play that. We all like that when it's playoff football. You know, the Patriots dropping two of their final four games. Who would have thought that? A.J. McCarron against a Pittsburgh Steeler pass defense that's ranked 30th. That's a pretty interesting story because, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger, there's not many better than him when it comes to the fourth quarter. So I can go on and on through the storylines of the playoffs, but I think the storyline that's going to receive the most attention next week is what are they doing in Denver with Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler now and why they've not committed one way or the other and what the future ramifications. Jake's right in the middle of that. He can't Skype with us today, which is fine. It's fine, but Jake's going to join us here in a few minutes. So Dan Marley, Jake Plummer, and we're working on a couple of other things as well. It came out today that the MegaCast is going to happen next Monday night, and this is good news for you college football fans like myself. How are we going to consume? How many different angles will we watch the championship game? I hope it's a close game. I hope it's a compelling game on paper. It should be. These are the two best teams in college football. But I have a feeling that, like a lot of people across the country, I was a tad fatigued with the bowl season. A tad. The semifinals being played on New Year's Eve didn't work for me. The games were blowouts. By the time I got to the Fiesta Bowl and a Notre Dame-Ohio State matchup that should have been big time and terrific, it kind of had a meh feel about it, which should never be the case. But I will watch. In fact, I'm supposed to go to the game. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to or not. But next Monday night, it will be on MegaCast. So you can watch. Jordan's in for Eric today. So Jordy on these MegaCasts, help me out here. If I remember correctly, last year, it was like there was a channel where there's all the ESPN analysts sitting in a room watching. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, there's a broadcast where there are essentially a bunch of coaches in there, and they have a host just kind of going through strategy and that sort of thing.
So that's one channel, though.
Yeah.
Just one channel. Then there's another channel where there were no announcers.
I believe so.
Or then, there was the channel with the announcers by radio of the of one team and
right.
the other.
So it's almost kind of like a Sirius XM thing where it's you can have the Clemson broadcast or the Alabama
right.
broadcast, that sort of thing. And then they also had one where it was, you know, Mike Smith and Jemele Hill and kind of the ESPN personalities, and that was kind of more the
hip-hop
party one where I think yeah. Johnny Manziel might have come in at one point and
Did
stuff
he wear
like
a wig?
I don't know. I think he had the mustache,
he
though.
He had the mustache.
So, yeah.
The wig story, it's not going to get much better than Johnny Manziel in a wig. That's
no.
Especially after he took a selfie with his dog a couple hours before and posted it and said, I'm just home laying low on a Saturday night.
Right.
What a phony.
And he said it was from years ago, and it's like a very present song right now that just came out about a week ago. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just... So he may show up at this. He's become now the butt of jokes. He could show up at a thing like Jemele Hill. Oh, hey. It's kind of like watching Tebow this week around Clemson and Alabama. So the triple cast, or the mega cast, are calling it. Triple cast was an Olympic term that was years ago. So the mega cast, that's going to be on Monday night. And there's different ways for you guys to consume it. But are you going to be all encompassed in the championship game? I'm not going to sit here and rip the product. Maybe the way it's being distributed is going to be a problem. In Alabama against Clemson, over the last several years, who's produced more first-round NFL high-end picks? I mean, it's Alabama. If you look at the number of especially skill guys, Amari Cooper and Julio Jones, I mean, I can go on and on and on of players. I think the coaches are really interesting. Nick Saban is loathed and hated by so many people because all he does is win. Alabama was a program that was down and out, that was heading nowhere fast under Mike Shula. Nick Saban comes in. Nick Saban is a Belichick protege. So people hold that against him. And all they do every year is go out and win, win, win. There are methods to beat them. I don't know if Clemson has those methods and those ways to beat them. They have a quarterback in Deshaun Watson who's a lot of fun to watch. I'm excited for this game. I'm not going to sit here next Tuesday morning when I see the numbers and it shows that in Phoenix it only got, you know, a small rating. It's great that we have this event. And so we'll talk more about that. Last night I watched a little bit of Ben Simmons. That's a name that you need to know. If you're a Phoenix Suns fan, you want your team to lose. The Suns play tonight against Charlotte. You don't want them to win any more games. You want them to tank. Tankapalooza is what we should be here in Phoenix. There's no other way to put it. The more wins they have, the more it hurts your team long term, the more that you're stuck in just being a pick around 10, 11, 12, 13. You need to go get really bad. This is it. This is your year. There's nothing left to play for. Bledsoe is hurt. You have some young kids. Play them. Let them get beat on. Lose, 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 lose. Please lose. Don't try and figure it out. I was happy to see Jeff Hornacek took his team bowling yesterday. Please take your team bowling more often. Cancel practices the rest of the year and bowl more often. I need to see Ben Simmons here. I don't need to see a bunch of marginal upper first-round guys, mid-first-round guys. You've done that enough, and that strategy hasn't worked. We are going to be very forgiving of you if your strategy is, we're going to go tear this thing further down. Trade deadline a few weeks away, okay? Figure it out. It's really not that hard. Go watch Ben Simmons, Robert, and then say to your group, I want him because he's really good. 14-10 last night, an upset win over Kentucky, and it wasn't even his best game. I've seen him play much better. There's some news going on at Arizona State. So on Jordy, on Twitter, you spotted it.
Yeah.
Ishmael Murphy Richardson.
Yeah, he's linked to the dismissal of a couple players from last week in terms of some credit card fraud.
This came from Doug Howler and Chris Cartman.
Yeah,
and
seems like
all the
guys
insiders,
that are tapped in.
They're all tweeting out
yep.
that. So is he gone?
He has been dismissed from the team, according to reports.
Okay, so Ishmael Murphy Richardson, a local player.
Mm-hmm. Desert Edge guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's an impact guy, and he's gone.
Yeah, and he was a guy that they brought in specifically to replace Carl Bradford a couple years ago, and he was going to be next in line once Antonio Longino had moved on.
So this is for credit card fraud, according to Doug Hallard, AZ Central, and others. And this is connected to the earlier arrest and dismissal of two other players.
Correct.
So what we're looking at here is Todd's got to be holding his breath, and even Ray Anderson has to be holding his breath and say, okay, one player, two players, three players, how many other players were connected to this? This is, obviously this isn't good, and obviously this is a blow on the defense. More importantly, the overriding story is here, is this it? Are there other players that are connected to this? Because credit card fraud, that's not something that you just sit around and say, I'm going to figure out how to do this. That has to be put together by other people. And I'm hoping this is the front, back, and front, middle, and back end of the story. But I've seen these stories where all of a sudden it's, well, this guy was connected, and this guy was connected, and this guy was connected. I'm only bringing it up. Whew. Man, Todd can't get out. He cannot wait for this season to get over with and to get to letter of intent day on February 4th and just say, hey, look at this class, great Sun Devils. This guy is going to be this. This guy is going to be that. And in the next 3 weeks, it's like every day something is happening around the ASU program. Something. And the same for U of A. You know, Rich blew out his entire defensive staff now. So it's not a pretty time here in our state. And it was just a year ago that that U of A beat ASU and U of A went to the Fiesta Bowl. And here they are a year later. They're blowing up their whole staff. It was not too long ago that Todd Graham's teams were putting up 10-win seasons. And here they are having a losing record this year. Just amazing how in our state, both programs have just, I want to say imploded. That's overstating it. But anybody who says, oh, this really isn't a big deal, you're kidding yourselves. You're probably just writing big checks to each university and supporting the football program, and you just don't want to hear the truth. Eric's out at the Cardinals today. They're on the practice field. And Carson's supposed to speak at 11 o'clock. So on the Cardinals' end of things, I like the strategy that Bruce Arians is taking. I've seen teams that have had bye weeks where they just work on their stuff. No, Arians has said, we're going to do a little bit on Minnesota, and we're going to do a little bit on Green Bay, and we're going to do a little bit on Washington, a team per day. And then we'll figure out next week who it is that we're going to match up with. I was talking with Peter King yesterday. I think the best matchup for the Cardinals would be Green Bay. I don't think it will be Green Bay. I think Washington will beat them. I think that Minnesota-Seattle becomes very interesting. If I'm a Cardinals fan, I want the Vikings to beat the Seahawks because I wouldn't want any part of Seattle again here. Here, I wouldn't. Seattle didn't care about playing here. Any other team comes here, I think the Cardinals have an advantage. Seattle comes here, I just and I could be proven wrong on that. I just think Seattle is a team that is ascending at a rapid, rapid pace. All right, Dan Marley's next, Jake Plummer after that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, welcome back. So I mentioned that with all the stuff around the Cardinals and all the buildup, there's some very good stories that have not received the attention I think they deserve. Later today, on a side note, I'm supposed to be at Grand Canyon University for a tea time at 1 o'clock to absolutely destroy their new golf course. They said, Brad, get on out here. You're working too hard. We open things up. I know Eric's going out to see Dan Marley's team tomorrow night on the subject of teams that have not received a whole lot of attention. And quietly, and we've talked about it every day on the show, when they are winning games right and left, they're 13-2. I think Dan's out at the golf course. I'm getting the thumbs up from Jordan that that Dan's out there. So first of all, congratulations on 13-2. More importantly, is this course playable for a big stiff like me if you, in fact, are out there?
Well, I just, first of all, good morning. I just left. I got practice. I was out there for the opening, and I think you could play it. I haven't been able to play it yet. I haven't got a tee time. They're packed from 7 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and I'm busy with practice. So, but I think I know it's beautiful, and I'm sure you would enjoy going out there and playing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, a big stiff like me, I don't know. I mean, you're the player. I'm not. You're 13-2. Are you surprised?
I'd probably say I'm surprised a little bit just by the fact that, you know, we've done really well at home, which doesn't surprise me because of our arena and our crowd. But to be able to go to San Diego State and beat them there, and then to follow up and go to Vegas and beat a Houston team that was 8-1 at the time and now is 13-2 and getting some top 25 votes, and then the next night beating Marshall for the championship and then going to SIUE and winning a away game there, winning four away games, was, I would say, a surprise. But just tells you how much we've grown and that we've become a pretty good team. So I guess if you would have asked me at the beginning of the year, 13-2, I would have took it in a heartbeat.
Sure.
I'm excited about it. But I think that we have a long way to go. And starting Thursday, our conference schedule starts. And that's something we're always looking forward to and want to be playing our best basketball. So this is when the real season begins.
Okay, help me out here with, you went to Louisville and it didn't go your way, obviously. But was that a growth period for a program like GCU to be in that environment? Last year, you played big games on the road. And you're not winning them now, but these are games, I think, even if the result doesn't go your way, to just be on the floor and to go through that atmosphere is going to help you in years to come.
Yeah, and that's why we schedule guys like that. I mean, Kentucky helped us last year. And, you know, Louisville was kind of a different situation. We had played on a Thursday here. Friday was a long travel day to fly all the way to Louisville. We pretty much just had a walkthrough on a Friday night, couldn't even practice. And then we got up and played an afternoon game, a 12 o'clock game there, which is really 10 o'clock our time. So not that that was an excuse, but we really weren't able to prepare and our guys were a little tired and we got blown out. So I think it was more of a wake-up call for our guys. I thought our guys thought that they were really pretty good. And then to get spanked like that by a very good team, I think it showed our guys that we had to get back to the drawing board and continue to work and get to that level. And then when we went to San Diego State, I think they were more prepared. I think they were ready for a team of that with that athleticism and knew that they had to play extremely hard and be on point for 40 minutes. And when we play games like that, that really is a growth period. And you look at next year, we got Louisville and San Diego State at home at our arena. We're playing at Duke. We're playing at U of A. We're playing at Cincinnati. We're playing at different places. So we're going to continue to play great competition, and that's only going to help us when this four-year period's over and we go to the NCAA tournament.
Okay, so the U of A game is done. That's something I've been sitting on. You are going to play them next year.
Yeah, it's been scheduled. The contract signed, so we will be playing at U of A next year.
That's big time. You're having fun, so I'm going to give some credit to your social media team. I'm seeing these little videos of you after games. Do you realize how like out of control you are in the locker room, like in a fun sort of way? Have you seen these things?
Yeah, I'm out of control in a bad way and in a good way. I got to really work on my emotions. You know, I kind of coach the way I played, which is a lot of emotion, and my guys understand that, my players understand that there's a lot of passion to what I do, and that's the way it's always going to be. And I do that both ways, and they understand that. So I really enjoy winning. I really enjoy being part of that team and celebrating those victories with them. And I just wear my emotions on the sleeve, and they understand that. But that goes the other way, too. I'm very hard on these guys and very truthful with them. I'm on them all the time because although that we're 13-2 and we're ranked 17th in the mid-major poll, that's not our goal. Our goal is to be a top 25 team in the major poll and to continue to get better. And, you know, we're going to find out. Thursday we start our conference, and then Saturday we're against New Mexico State, who's a very good team, and it's the perennial power of Black Conference. So we're going to find out where we're at, but we still have a long way to go.
Both those games are at home. Thursday night against Texas Rio Grande at 7, New Mexico State at home, 7 o'clock. I have a daughter who's an alumnus now, or alum rather, of GCU, so she goes to the games. It's great. And yeah, I'm waving the purple here. A couple of things I'll let you go. This is not meant to be the typical Dan Marley, what do you think about what's going on with the Suns? Because I'm tired of that narrative, and I think it's unfair when you're put in that spot. But I will ask you about Robert Sarver's comments about social media and young players. It has created a tremendous amount of buzz in the last couple of days, and I don't mean it about him and his particular team. I'm meaning it, Dan, because I think he does have a point that we are in a day and age where it's very hard for coaches, doesn't matter if it's pro, college, or high school, to control players because of social media. Do you buy into that?
Yeah, I buy into it. I buy into the whole social media thing is not a great thing. You know, as a parent, as a coach, I mean, I have to continually monitor my players at GCU on their social media. I think these guys don't understand that what they put out there is going to be there forever. And later down the line in a job interview, or they're going to pull things up, and our president's looking at it, and our kids just don't understand that. And sitting at home with my kids, and they're always on the phone looking at things and doing things, and I think it really takes away from interaction and having conversations with recruits on phones or in person. I think it's harder and harder these days to have those personal conversations with those kids, because everything through now is through the phone and through social media and through tweeting. And, you know, I've had a kid actually tweet out saying, "Don't call me anymore. You know, you can reach me through through Twitter or text me." Mm-hmm. They don't even want to talk on the phone. And I think that's a huge problem for our kids now. And there's the instant gratification and all those kind of things. So that's just something that I didn't grow up with, and obviously you didn't either, so it's something sure. we have to deal with, and I constantly deal with it with our players, and even my own kids, when they're sitting around the house and they want to have a conversation, they're always on their phone.
Did you have to, or have you had to punish a player yet because of their social media feeds?
I have not had to punish, but I've had to strongly remind them of consequences of what they're posting, not only because of what we're trying to do here, but the university we're at and what we're trying to accomplish. And you're not only representing yourself, your family, but you're also representing the Grand Canyon University, and we hold ourselves to the highest of standards. So I have had to remind them several times. And like I said, it's just something that they don't think about and the consequences that could happen.
Have you had to unrecruit a player because of their social media? I've had coaches at Division I tell me, in football primarily, but a little bit in basketball, they have unrecruited or left a player because of that.
I have not unrecruited. I've actually asked my assistants about certain kids that we're recruiting because of things I've seen on social media and want to know a little bit more about what's going on. I have lost a kid that signed with another school that I follow on Twitter, and some of the things that he had tweeted afterwards or some of the things that were said made me realize that maybe we were lucky that we didn't get the kid because of the kind of things that he was tweeting and putting out there. So I have not stopped recruiting a kid, but there's been instances where I was kind of glad that we didn't get him.
One of the icons in our community, Dan Marley, with us for a couple of minutes. Thursday night, they're at home to open conference play at Grand Canyon University. The great thing about Dan Marley is he's an enormous sports fan. Are you caught up in Cardinal fever?
Oh, I'm caught up just like everybody else. I can't, I can't wait. We're actually looking to move our game against Utah Valley. We play on that same night, so we're going to try to schedule it in the afternoon. Hopefully I can get home after a win and watch them, but I'm a huge fan of Coach Arians and what the Cardinals are doing. And, I've often said that I got two teams, the Detroit Lions and the Cardinals. And, you know, I can't root. I root for the Lions, but there's not much going on there, so I'm all in with the Cardinals.
What do you like about Arians, coach to coach?
I love how his honesty, how he's honest with the media, how he's honest with his players. I always say that the best way to coach is to be as truthful as you can with your players, and you'll never have a problem with them. If they can't handle the truth or they don't want to hear the truth, then that's on them. And I think he's very honest with his players, from Larry Fitzgerald on down to the last guy. He tells them exactly what he's thinking and what he expects, and then it's up to them to do that. And if there's consequences, it's usually on the player, because they know going in what's expected of them as far as practice and playing and performing. If they're not doing the job, he's going to get on you. And, you know, I learned that from Coach Riley when I played for him. He got on Alonzo Mourning, who was our best player, as much as he got on the 12th man. And that kind of just resonates with everybody in the locker room. If you can get on your best player, then what's the 12th man going to say when you get on him?
That's good stuff there. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Dan Marley with us, head coach, Grand Canyon University. Tomorrow night, Texas Rio Grande Valley, 7 o'clock on campus. Saturday at 7 o'clock, New Mexico State on campus. Good to talk with Dan Marley. Really interesting. They have signed a deal to play the U of A in basketball. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. The one and only Jake Plummer is going to be in town later this week for the champ game between Clemson and Alabama. He joins us for a couple of minutes on the program. Are you excited for this game from this standpoint? Look, it's one against two. It's great to see Alabama and Clemson, but it's a regional game. I don't know about national mass appeal, Jake, on this, but football alone, is this the best that we could get?
I think so. I mean, you have to go with the system, although I think there is argument that there were some really good teams left out of the top four that will have a beef and continue to have a beef, that they deserve to have a shot at being in this game. And at least there's four teams that get to go at it. And I think as the thing evolves, we're going to see more and more teams added to that mix. Hopefully it becomes an eight-team field.
When you look at Clemson and you look at Alabama, what do you see?
Just two teams that are very well coached and have some amazing football players on them. I like Clemson. I like their attitude. I like their coach. I enjoy their approach to the game. You can see that it means something to them more than Alabama's been there. You know, in the championship game, they've won national championships. They're there every year. It's become kind of almost secondhand that they're going to be there. Whereas you got the Clemson squad that's obviously built this up from the ground, and they're there, and they're trying to prove that they are legitimately the best team in the country. And I think we're going to see them come out with more life than Alabama. And I just enjoyed watching them play. I hadn't watched them play a whole lot this year, but watching them in that game against Oklahoma, they looked really good, and their defense was swarming. And I think that Deshaun Watson's a great quarterback. He's going to do some good stuff, and I think it's going to be fun to just see a new team, hopefully a fresh team win a championship.
Jake Plummer with us for a couple of minutes. Over on the Cardinal side, when you get a bye week, what is it that you do during a bye week in getting ready for the next round? They're practicing today, tomorrow, Friday against the Packers. One day the Vikings, one day the Redskins, one day. That's how Bruce Arians is going about it. How do you go about this week, Jake?
I don't know. I think you take the week to not worry about who your opponent could be, because, it could change. So any work you're doing against certain teams could be, fruitless, because you might not have to see that team. I would more or less think that taking it like a bye week during the middle of the year, where you kind of get refocused on the fundamentals of the game, running routes crisp, doing the little things right, getting back to the basics. And then, wait and see what team it is. Let the coaches do all that breakdown stuff. But as a player, I think you can sometimes get too far ahead and thinking about who you might want to face, and then thinking, it sure would be nice to play Green Bay. We got a better chance against them. But all of a sudden, bam, you're not playing them. You're playing the Redskins. And so, I don't know, but I'm not a head coach in the NFL, and Bruce Arians obviously is doing a great job in that, so you got to go with what the coach is doing. But in a bye week, you got to get healthy too, get rested up, but stay fresh, stay crisp, and make sure you're mentally getting that, refresher so you can go up and face the next game. And having a bye can be detrimental also. You just have to make sure that you keep that edge, because the body is used to the season going and then the season being over. If you let your body think, it's over, then, you can have that little bit of letdown. And it's very minute, but it can definitely make a difference. But I don't see that happening. I think a team like Cardinals are hungry, a team that hasn't been a perennial powerhouse, a winning franchise year in and year out, they're just starting to feel what that's like. So keep that momentum going, and it's going to be fun to see if they can make it. I'd love to see Broncos Cardinals in the Super Bowl. It'd be pretty fun to watch.
Talking about Jake Plummer, how do you beat Arizona? Can you play keep away? Do you have to be that 12 play, 80 yard, 5.5, 6 minute drive team to keep the ball and Carson Palmer off the field? Is that the best way to beat this team?
Yeah, definitely. You got to do that. At this point, the cream has risen to the top. The top teams are in it. And you got to find a way to, whatever they do offensively with Carson and if you're the team facing, you have to answer. You have to find a way to answer the call and make the big plays. And that's the fun part of the playoffs, is watching and seeing who that next star is going to be, who's going to step up, someone that we haven't heard of before, step up and make some big plays. But it's a challenge to keep that offense off the field. They're a high-powered unit. And, you said it best. If you got another team's offense that can keep Carson and that group off the field, your chances go up. But it's not easy against that defense either. That interior line, Campbell in the middle and all those guys, Frosty Rucker, those guys are playing extremely well. They're tough, they're intense, and they're getting after it. And I think with their defense playing the way they're capable of, they got a lethal combination there.
I'll tell you, I have not seen enough of Washington to make a blanket statement, but I've seen enough of Kirk Cousins to say, anybody who thinks the Redskins, because I think they're going to beat Green Bay, that's going to be a pushover. They're kidding themselves. Washington looks like they've got something going on there. Have you seen enough of him to give an idea about Kirk Cousins?
I just like his passion. You know, I can think back to earlier in the year when they had the big comeback, and you know, he wasn't measured and thinking about the correct thing to say. He was intense and in the moment, screaming at the cameras and being himself. And I think that you've seen him kind of take over that team and become that leader that they need. And, you know, they're a hungry organization that hasn't been there for a long time. And they're not a long time, but, you know, for a few years of, you know, up and downs with the RG3 situation. And here you got a guy who's, you know, was a backup for a while, who's now leading this team into the playoffs. And I'm with you, Brad. I think they're going to beat Green Bay and, you know, move on to the next round. And that's a scary team because we all know across the league that everybody's pretty much talent-wise the same. And if you can get guys motivated the right way, that's the key. And, you know, they're going to be motivated to go out there and prove to everyone else that they're deserving to be there.
Okay, before you go, you have been very supportive of the Sun Devils because you are an Arizona State alum. However, did you see them the other night against West Virginia? It was a comedy of errors, timeout on a kickoff, not going for two. There's a lot of unhappy people here. I'm just merely wanting to know from your point of view, a 7-loss season when the coach says this is the best team I've ever coached, what can you say about what's going on here right now?
I can't say anything that, you know, would be something I've been in firsthand see because I'm not down there. I'm not in the building. I'm, you know, just corresponding with Berkovici. You know, main thing for him was how to get these guys motivated for this last game. And it's like, well, if that's the case, then, you know, you got to think about the players, you know, the right players in there. You know, you're going after, you know, these blue chippers and these 4 or 5 star guys. You know, are they hungry? Are they the ones that are going to help build this program and keep it a consistent winner? You know, you got to look at that. And, you know, like I said, even early in the year, to say things is great. You know, hey, we're one of the greatest, best team I've coached, and we're going to win this many games, and we have a chance to be in the Rose Bowl. Talk is cheap. You know, you got to step up and do it with your actions and on the field. And I think there's talent there. There's definitely a group of kids that have a lot of talent. But I think back to, you know, my days is, you know, do you have leaders? Do you have guys that are not only taking care of business, but having fun, you know, having a good time? You're in college. You're only there once in your life. And to make it all about football all the time, I don't think it's healthy for those kids. So hopefully, you know, my advice even to Burko last summer was, hey, make sure you guys are having some fun too in the middle of all this intense training to go win a national title. You know, you got to have fun. You got to have the right leaders that can get guys just in when they need to be from the head coach.
That's Jake Plummer with us for a couple of minutes. Appreciate Jake and his time. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Here now is Bill Hancock, College Football Playoff Executive Director. Monday night, the championship game of college football, number 1 Alabama, number 2 Clemson, number 1 Clemson, number 2 Alabama, depending on who you talk to. That is the beauty of all this. I think they got it right. The number 1 against the number 2. It's good to have Bill on the program again. Tell me about, as we're 5 days away from this game, your view of Monday night's matchup, just what it's bringing into Arizona in this game, Bill.
Well, first of all, Brad, thank you for inviting me to be on again. I hope all is well with you, and Happy New Year.
Right back at you.
We're obviously very excited about the game. Two different styles, tremendous athletes on both sides of the ball for both teams. And I don't know, who do you think's going to win? That's my question for you.
I mean, on the surface, you look at what Alabama and Nick are doing defensively. You'd have to say that if they take away the screen passes of Deshaun Watson and company, I think that that defense is just too much. But that's just me. I don't want to upset Clemson Nation descending down here on Arizona. You know what I'm saying? Now, how about you? It's probably more important that you give me the answer on this one.
I really don't know. Obviously, the strength of both teams on both sides of the ball is unique. Frankly, over 30 years ago, I suppose the biggest difference I think in college football is the speed and athleticism on the part of defensive linemen. Just if you look at the athletes and watch them, see how quick and fast they are. Both of these teams. I can't wait for the game. I don't know who's going to win.
The perception about the coaches, Nick is not liked by anybody outside of Alabama, which is fine. Dabo has come onto the scene, and he's his own guy. I have an enormous amount of respect for both gentlemen, but you're there with both Nick and Dabo. What do we get in the way of coaches here on Monday night?
Both, they are different. You're right. Different styles, different personalities, but both alike in many, many ways. Probably alike in more ways than they're different. Very focused, excuse me, very focused, tremendous staffs, very hard-working staffs, very well-organized staffs, very detail-oriented staffs. I think more alike than different. I enjoy the company of both of them. Both very smart people, both committed to their families. Both are credit to the game. And you know, they both also understand the importance of the game, mm-hmm. and they understand their roles as stewards of the game. So, yeah, we're honored to have both of these coaches.
Bill Hancock, College Football Playoff Executive Director, Monday night at Glendale, the national championship game in college football, another big event here in Arizona between Clemson and Alabama. Is this game going to be watched nationally? I'm not taking away from Clemson and Alabama, but, Bill, you know it, I know it. It's a regional matchup in the South. Do you think that the television audience nationally is going to watch this game?
You know, I'm reading the pundits saying that because of the both schools are kind of in that southeast quarter of the country, that the numbers may not be as high as they were last year with obviously the West Coast team and then the Midwest. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't think any of us knows. But whatever it is what it will be. And our goal here is to produce a great event for the fans to attend the game and to draw as many viewers as we can, but not to worry too much about the latter. You worry about the things you can control.
Sure.
And so what we are focused on is creating the best atmosphere possible for the competition at the stadium, and we're very confident about that.
How many fans are coming from each school? Do you know yet?
Well, each team got just slightly over 20,000 tickets. And what you will see at the stadium, though, is there will be way more than that, mm-hmm. fans for both teams, that neutral fans, people in the Valley who may have had tickets, people around the country who had tickets. Somehow those tickets will work their way into the hands of Clemson and Alabama fans. And I know the atmosphere Monday night will just be electric.
Bill, as always, appreciate the time. Best of luck with the game on Monday night. Thanks.
Great, Brad. Thanks. Take care.
There's Bill Hancock with us for a couple of minutes, College Football Playoff Executive Director. I'm going to go. I hadn't decided that an hour ago, but I've decided now I'm going to go. Is that okay, Jordy? I mean, do you want to go? I think it's Jared's turn to go, though.
I know he got credentialed for it.
He got credentialed for it. So you,
sure
you wouldn't?
I'm
they would
sure
have done the background
gonna,
check and you wouldn't have made it? Is that what you're saying?
Or? I don't know what got hung up on my end, but
yeah.
All right. Jared's going.
There's some other things going on here before we get out for the day. Suns play Charlotte tonight. Please lose. Tomorrow night, Arizona State is at USC and U of A is at UCLA. You know, the college basketball side of things, outside of the ASU-U of A game being played on a Sunday afternoon at noon on a day where the Cardinals are playing, so nobody went. Nobody was really aware of it, and it was terrific. I went, so I guess I'm a nobody. I would like to see a little bit more vision, guys. Vision from the Pac-12. You don't play your arch rival on a Sunday afternoon a couple days after New Year's or a day after New Year, whatever it was. It's just it's not good. And the Coyotes play tomorrow. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.